Then it was on Tuesday, August 15th, you write in your book, during Operation Dragoon in the south of France.
Mm-hmm. Phil was in a platoon. They were under fire by German snipers. Phil and Lieutenant Moore decided, hey, you guys, stay back here. We're going to sneak up on these Germans, and we're going to take them out, allowing us to pass. Got to remember that this is the first war where we had paratroopers. This was a new technique where they could parachute behind enemy lines to get them that way. And this was no different. Here they are being fired upon by the Germans. Phil and Lieutenant Moore move forward. The platoon heard some shots and then nothing. So the platoon moved forward. They saw both Phil and Lieutenant Moore dead. Phil, they said, had about 5 bullet holes across his chest, laying face down. Phil was right. His premonition came true that he wasn't going to be coming back.
And he was 28 years old by the time that happened.
It took a little over, a month, 6 weeks for Judge Kennemer to get the news that his son had passed, had been shot. His body was brought back and is buried in Tulsa now at Memorial Park Cemetery.
Do you think the judge could draw any honor out of Phil's life because he died in service of our country?
I would hope so. I would hope he would think that my son served in the war and he fought, and I'm proud of him for that.
However, we still have the pain of the Gorell family. That never changed.
That never changed.
The hurt for the Gorell family was forever.
They probably thought good riddance to Phil Kennemer.
You've written here, the white-haired retired federal court judge, Franklin Kennemer, Phil's father, dies in Chelsea, Oklahoma. He was 81, obviously died there at his ranch.
At his ranch. Mm-hmm.
I got to say, reading the book, the closing arguments of both sides were just outstanding. If people read those closing arguments, you know, this whole story could be a movie. Absolutely could be a movie. And the closing arguments of the prosecution and the defense are absolutely amazing, and you captured that in your book.
Thank you.
Flint Moss, one of the prosecuting attorneys, dies at age 77. Former Oklahoma Attorney General and prosecuting attorney J. Barry King dies at Mercy Hospital in Oklahoma City, and he was 74.
Mm-hmm.
You've concluded the book with your personal conclusions about the murder, and you probably have already stated that.
Yeah, I stated that what I really thought happened. Phil is going to make up a story. It may be not real clear to him because of the traumatic events that happened that night. But I really think that Phil got there while John was taking his date back to the hospital. He saw the gun in that driver's door pocket, and he took it. He took it, and he was going to use it. He had decided right there and then he was going to end this and protect Virginia.
And again, this was never discussed between you and your grandmother.
We never talked about it. Again,
do you wish you had brought it up?
I wished I had tried. I wished I had tried to see how far I could get with that. I respected my grandmother. I respected the era that she came from, where let's let bygones be bygones. But I regret that I did not at least attempt to ask her what happened with that. Being that she really didn't know what was going on other than what happened after the fact and after John Gorell was shot and killed, she may not have had any idea what Phil was up to. Yes, he was sending her flowers. Yes, he was sending her notes. He was asking even Jack, when they were dating at the time, Jack and Virginia, he wanted Jack to call Virginia, to write notes and deliver these notes to Virginia. Please call me. Please talk to me. Virginia didn't want to. My grandmother's pretty strong-willed. When she set up her mind for something, by God, that's what she did. There was really no stopping her. I think that's what made her a successful cattle rancher. I was told by her younger siblings that that was unheard of in that era, in the 50s and 60s, for a successful woman cattle rancher. That was basically a man's job. And she handled herself, and she handled it pretty well. I've got a picture of her actually wrestling a calf and wrapping it up. She was just an amazing woman. I wished that I'd gotten to know her better. I wished I had gotten to know what happened and how frightened she was. So frightened that her family took her away with her brother, her siblings, to Ohio to get away from this mess. I just think she was a great woman. She was business savvy, and I admire her for that. I really do.
Yeah. And she was obviously a good-looking woman.
I think she was a very handsome woman. I've got a picture in the last page of our book of my grandmother, myself. And actually, that picture was taken just as we were leaving Tulsa to come back to Albuquerque. And we had just found out about this murder. And that's my 3-year-old daughter. just an amazing woman. Smart. I think she was business savvy. Very intelligent woman. And I think it's kind of hard to tell in that black and white, but I think even our gray hair, my grandmother and I share the same genetics with regards to our hair and how it was graying. She was 92 when she had passed in 2008.
I should say we recorded this interview in Santa Fe, New Mexico. You live in Albuquerque, and I'm here to do another interview as well. So you graciously drove down here to tell this story, and I want to thank you very, very much.
Well, thank you for having me. I admire what you're doing in trying to keep an audio history of events in Oklahoma. I wrote the book not because it's my grandmother, but I found that once I started doing more research, how interesting the story was. And I agree with you. I think that maybe sometime down the road, it might be a movie.
Yeah. We should also say nothing has apparently changed, because when you get people of wealth, of influence, of power, they significantly impact the justice system. And in that regard, we can point out that the Tulsa World blasted Phil Kenimore's father's relentless efforts to free his son. In an editorial, as it was known then, the Tulsa Daily World, they wrote, "It is doubtful if any more official, legal, social, or political pressure has ever been used in this country to circumvent justice. There has not been a month since the night of the shooting that powerful friends have not been active, at many times under coercion, in the intercessions for young Kenimore. These consistent efforts were directed toward anyone who in any way might be helpful." And then they went on to say, because in their disgust, they said, "It was their sincere hope that it will never be necessary to refer to this case again." But of course, there were many references to this case. So Phil Kenimore was sentenced to 25 years, and of that he served 6 years, 7 months, and 16 days in prison, and then was released to join the military.
Judge Kenimore tried his best to get Phil off, going through the parole process. Again, even though he was retired, I know he had a lot of personal issues, not only with his wife, but doing some research, and it's not in the book, apparently one of his daughters out here in New Mexico was in a car crash and injured her back pretty bad out near Gallup, New Mexico, back in the late 20s, early 30s. Plus the fact that Phil went to New Mexico Military Institute. Being that I live here in New Mexico, I felt kind of a close tie to that, plus being a native Tulsan.
Yeah, you can paint Judge Kenimore several ways, trying to get his son off. But look at all the things he tried to do to get his son on the straight and narrow. He used his power for some good, to get him a job here, get him a job there, get him a job there. And this boy would not take to any of that.
He wouldn't. He wouldn't.
Some could have said, you know, he got what he deserved and just let him sit in jail. And maybe that's what he should have done. But he continued to help his son to the very end.
To the very end. Like I said earlier, I believe that Judge Kenimore was pretty proud of his son for joining, because that was pretty patriotic for people to join the war efforts. I mean, that's what he wanted to do at that time. So.
Yeah. Well, thank you for writing the book, because it spawned us having a conversation here. The book is Murder in the Name of Love, The Phil Kenimore Trial by Jim Freese. You didn't know you were going to be an author of a book, but
no,
now you are.
I am now.
Thank you, Jim. I appreciate it very much.
Thank you for having me.